is the Go Blue Crew.
Hello and welcome into the Go Blue Crew. I'm Tyler Fenwick with Derek Devine. Derek, I don't know about you, but seeing the future schedule release for the Big Ten made conference expansion very real for me. It did not feel as real as it does right now, looking at Michigan's schedule, seeing Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA. It goes on. I'm staring at that, sweating a little bit. Obviously, it's a lot to digest, and it just came out today. We're recording this on Thursday, but as you're looking at the schedule, 2024 and even beyond, what are you thinking?
You know, first thing you notice is what they've protected, which is obviously Michigan State and Ohio State for Michigan. Not only do they protect them, there's that weird scheduling thing a couple of years ago where they play two road games in a row, or they hosted Michigan State 2 years in a row. Not sure what it was, but not only have they protected it, you know, it's going to fall right in line to, you know, they're on the road to MSU this year, they're hosting Ohio State this year, and then it flips next year and every year after that. So the first thing you look for is obviously what's protected. A change from the original expanded Big Ten slate of games is there's no UCLA next year, and so you don't play both California teams, but you substitute, like you mentioned, Oregon and Washington. So I think the schedule absolutely got tougher. Unless something changes either during this regular season or over the off season. Michigan's obviously also expecting to host Texas. That's about everybody's takeaway, especially compared to this year's early cupcake schedule, is Michigan's got a tough, tough 2024. Again, a lot of these big games, you know, can be at home. You get USC at home, you get Texas at home, Washington at home.
I think Washington's on the road.
Oh yeah, Washington is on the road. And then you're obviously traveling to Ohio State next year. So yeah. I think I'd have to look, you know, throw it out because it doesn't matter now. They added two more teams, but they were going to be in California, I thought, at least in the other iteration of the schedule. So you avoid going to California, but instead you go to Washington. But, I mean, those home games, if you're a season ticket holder, or just an avid Michigan football game goer. What a schedule just to be able to see in the Big House hosting teams that, you know, you haven't hosted in a good while. So it's exciting. I mean, it's real now, like you said. We've got to pair this with whatever they're going to do with the playoff. Obviously, the expansion is coming. Who knows if more changes come with these mega conferences. It's weird. I think the weirdest thing for me, and we talked about this right before going live, is no Penn State after this year until 2026. And we already talked about, you know, there's a lot of changes and that's not going to be a protected game, and how that probably makes this game, not only because they're two playoff caliber teams this year, but, you know, the future of Michigan-Penn State was a little bit uncertain. And, you know, there it is. They're not playing again for two more seasons after this one, you know, 2026. When Penn State visits the Michigan Stadium. And so definitely odd, but it is what it is. And again, as a fan, I guess you got to love the big matchups. You don't, our predictions next season are going to be interesting. I'll say that much.
I don't even know what I'm supposed to think about how Michigan's going to do. You look at the schedule, just 2024, there's Texas, Oregon, USC, Ohio State, in Washington. Those are all current national championship contenders. I don't know how many of those are going to be perennial looking ahead. I think it'll be hard, especially for Oregon and Washington, to keep up this momentum. But I think you can say right now that almost half of Michigan's schedule is like in the title hunt. And that's crazy. That's really crazy. I just had a thought. If you were like, had no idea about conference expansion and just pulled up the 2024 schedule, you'd think Michigan had like gone crazy and put together the most ridiculous non-conference schedule possible. But I'm so excited. You kept using the word excited, and I can't think of another word, that like there's going to just always be, or almost always be, big time football, not just talking about Michigan, but the Big Ten in general. The matchups this expansion creates is going to be a lot of fun to watch. You think about a week, even, you know, Michigan's playing Northwestern. Probably not one you get up for as a fan, like, oh, I can't wait to play the Wildcats. But, you know, you could also be watching Ohio State and USC, or, you know, something like that. That'll just be a lot of fun as a fan. So getting back to present day reality, Derek, I got a little ahead of ourselves, but I think that was appropriate just to look ahead to that gauntlet of 2024. I'll let you make fun of me here. And I think you know why, because I made a score prediction for the Michigan-Nebraska game that did not quite come true. And I won't say any more than that, but whatever you've got for me, I'll take it.
Well, you know, per usual, you and your predictions, a little wild sometimes. First shout out that, you know, the 2021 year, you expect them to win like 3 games. I already have it on record that next
okay,
year.
Okay, keep going.
I already have it on record that next year you think they're going to go 6-6.
That's true. I did text that.
So you're really good at making these predictions, but at the same time, you're really bad. And what time did that game start, by the way? 3:30 last weekend?
Yeah.
It wasn't even 5 o'clock, and I texted you a nice prediction with the 28 points. It just happened to be that's what they had at halftime. So, you know, you undershot a little bit. I had a feeling they'd get into the 40s. It felt like it could have been more. They finally showed that they're a team that can cover, but I like when you're wrong and it means good things for Michigan. And, you know, it's just you being safe with your picks usually. And
yeah,
your expectations are lower than mine, maybe. Or maybe you're, you know, you just don't want to get your hopes up. But
I'm so scared to get my heart broken.
I saw 28 on that scoreboard, and I just like, oh, I gotta send this text.
That was
right
the
now.
Halftime score. I, in my defense, I thought we were picking the halftime
yep.
score.
Yep, yep.
I didn't know.
You know what?
We
probably should. Like, I mean, not maybe moving forward. We're in conference play, and you're going to get every team's best. But man, what were we doing in those first few? We should have predicted the end of third quarter score. That would have been so much more entertaining.
That would have been, and it'd have been more realistic because, like we kept talking about, it was so hard to figure out, you know, when our starter is going to get pulled and what's the offense going to look like when you got the third stringers out there. It would have been like more realistic to give a halftime or third quarter score. We should keep that in mind for next season against Texas.
I mean, we talked about them not covering and not having the confidence that they will or even need to. They definitely showed that they can, at least against Nebraska, and it's not like Nebraska's a, you know, a great football team. Matt Rhule and the Cornhuskers are a ways away from being competitive, and even a step back from last year, knowing that last year, you know, they at least lost all their games by a combined like 0.5 points. So, I mean, it,
the best 3-win team, or was that 2021? I think 2021.
Every year Scott Frost was there, they were the best, whatever,
low-win
team
ever.
Yep. So, I mean, yeah, and I think
great
I saw, you know, you see the comments of, remember when they were, you know, winning 8, 9, 10 games with Bo Pelini, you know, maybe it wasn't as bad. You just, obviously you got to find a way to win those close ones, but they look further away now than they were. That happens with a kind of a reboot. But I think, you know, I can't remember who it was that said this, commentator, but regardless of who they've played, they've, you know, they're only giving up 6 points a game. And that includes garbage time. You know, it's not like, you know, yeah. even the stat, you know, Nebraska has been a great rushing team on the season. Without that 70-plus yard run at the end, which you do include, I mean, they really limited Nebraska on the ground. But even by including that, it's still Nebraska's worst performance and still allows Michigan to have one of the best total defenses. So you're only giving up 6 points a game, and really the only meaningful early touchdown that I can think of is, you know, that Rutgers touchdown where Rod Moore's back in the lineup and kind of trips and, you know, guys just streak into the end zone. They've obviously given up chunk plays to other teams, and then there's teams that have obviously found ways to score. even late. But man, I mean, you look at the stat, it's up through the third quarter. Michigan's really, really good on defense. And I think my final note for next year's schedule is there's a lot of question marks, but there's a lot of young guys on the defense still. And I think that, they're definitely showing, as much as they want to run the ball and as much as they want to, control things in the trenches, those seem to be the things that get talked about the most. Like, they are continuing year after year after year to be one of the better defensive teams in the nation. And obviously the objective is to limit the opponent from scoring as many points as you do. And so far, Michigan's the best in the business when it comes to that.
Does it concern you at all that, like, for two or three games now, Michigan's defense has given up some like big plays in the passing game, whether it's shots downfield or big runs after the catch? Seems like that's come up a few times, and if you were going to nitpick, that might be one thing you're like, I'd like to see that get shored up.
I mean, did you see the stat that, one of the thousands of college football report Twitters put out? It was like Ohio State hasn't allowed a pass downfield to an FBS opponent, and the people were, sharing their videos, and they're like, yeah, that was an FCS opponent that, hit the downfield
I didn't
pass.
see
And so,
that.
this is one of those things where it's like weirdly worded, but worded that way on purpose. All that to say, I think every team is liable to get a big play, no matter who they're playing. I think all of the good teams this year have struggled at some point or another. It'd be concerning in conference play if it's, a regular thing and it becomes a back and forth game. Who knows what this Minnesota game will bring? That's a team coached by a high energy guy and usually can get a lot out of his players, at least for, parts of the game. Putting together a complete game is a whole different story against a really good team. But yeah, I mean, any big play you give up is concerning, it's frustrating. I think that, that's what happened against Rutgers. It was early and you're down 7-0 and you kind of panic as a player, you kind of panic as a fan. You're like, they haven't been in this position. They haven't really proved anything against a bunch of nobodies. Like, are they not that good on defense? And, we know that they, went on to dominate that game. And so, yeah, I mean, you look at Nebraska, they score late. I mean, that was a more dominating performance by Michigan than I think either of us were expecting. And again, especially you who guessed 28 points.
Thank you. Yeah, I was worried we might forget about that. I don't think we have to talk much more, honestly, about the Nebraska game. Like, Michigan's by far most complete performance this season. I thought Blake Corum looked mostly back to his normal self, and that's, I think, continuing to be true. Like, pretty much every game. It's good to see Donovan Edwards get 14 carries too. I think breaking him in the backfield a little more will really help this team. Looking ahead at Minnesota, not an inspiring team, I think we can say. They started off with two wins against Nebraska and Eastern Michigan, lost on the road to North Carolina. Okay, that's not one we're going to hold against you. Here's one we will, though. At Northwestern, 37-34, the Wildcats are winners there. That's a crazy score, underappreciated in the realm of like shocking things you don't expect, because
They let them come
I
back
can't
too, didn't
imagine.
they? I think that was a game where they were
They
in
were up big.
control and just slipped up.
And no more than a dozen people were watching this. I think that's why it's not getting as much play, and it didn't immediately after. It was like, oh wow, Northwestern came back and won. You probably saw like Big Ten Network tweeted out, but the 12 fans were watching, I think, preferred to sort of bury that one away.
Yeah, you don't want to
Minnesota,
think about that one. And they also had that
no.
game against Nebraska too to start the season, which was just a really
Oh,
poor
13-10.
football game. It got kind of exciting at the end because of the plays that were being made, but
Yeah. Poor football is fun football though sometimes.
can be.
And I think that
Just
was an
ask Notre
example.
Dame and Ohio State.
Sure, go ahead. Now, Minnesota's last game, they beat Louisiana 35-24. So I say all that to set up a road matchup that, especially, being 7:30 prime time, this is NBC game, by the way. That'll be fun. You would normally be like pretty intimidated. At least I would, as we've talked about. I'm a little more pessimistic, I think, in my outlook. But you're looking at, like, that's Minnesota at night on the road. Oh my gosh, I get flashbacks to 2015, which I believe was a night game where Michigan just barely won, goal line stand. But this is not that Minnesota team. And so it'll be a cool test, I think, similar to like traveling to Nebraska. Regardless of how good or bad the team is, you just know that's kind of like an environment that's going to test your team. And so you want to see how they respond. I think traveling to Minnesota at night, sort of the same deal where, no, the team's not great, but you know, you're on the road at night. What are you going to look like? So that's kind of my impression of this game.
First thing I think of, similar to you, but I'll focus just on the night, is how Michigan looked at night against Bowling Green for a while there, and how J.J. McCarthy seemed to be bothered by the new light show or whatever it was, it being dark out everywhere except for the stadium and throwing three interceptions. And so, you know, they want to take care of business. They like being on the road. Their goal is to quiet crowds by halftime. That'd be very easy to do at Minnesota. Again, I think a electric environment for the beginning, but if they can't keep pace, the Gophers and their fans are going to kind of go away quietly, you know, similar to very Lions-esque this year. You got the Michigan fans on the road really taking over the environment, I'm sure. But it's still going to be, again, I think anytime you play some of the more respected coaches in the Big Ten, you're going to expect the best out of Minnesota. And Michigan's got to go in there and take care of the football. You know, playing a turnover-free, penalty-free game on the road at Nebraska is a big deal. And, you know, one of the many things that led to the blowout that it was. And so if you can avoid penalties, avoid costly mistakes, avoid turning the ball over, then you're likely to do what you need to do on the road at Minnesota before coming back home. But, hey, I mean, NBC over Peacock, ask anybody, they think they'd agree with that. I think the NBC broadcasts overall have been really good this year. It's something different. I think the play-by-play and the color commentary has been good. And hopefully this is one where they run out of things to talk about because Michigan's run away early. Because on paper, you know, these two teams are there's a big mismatch. And P.J. Fleck was the first to admit that. And, I mean, you just got to love seeing some of these coaches talk about Michigan. I don't know if you've read what they've said or heard what they've said. I mean, he loves the fact that they talk about weefence. I don't know if I've ever heard Jim Harbaugh say weefence.
I thought that came up during the off season.
Maybe it did. I think it feels so goofy because it feels like something PJ Fleck would say. And so it was like, is he making this up? Like, he just loves Michigan playing as a team. And I mean, it's almost like some of these coaches are kind of in awe at what Jim Harbaugh in Michigan are accomplishing. And what felt good in this last game is that felt like a Jim Harbaugh win. You know, second game on the sideline back. This would be his third, you know, second road game. So, yeah, I expect him to run away with this one. But, you know, I'm sure Minnesota will come out swinging at least for a couple of possessions offensively and defensively.
Do you want to play that game you invented where you ask me the fill-in-the-blank question?
Yeah. So you'll be disappointed this weekend if?
I'll be disappointed if Michigan continues giving up chunk plays through the air. Like I said earlier, I think it's the only thing you can really nitpick on defense anyway at this point. So I'm looking at like perfection here. You know, there's a little gap to fill before you're like elite, as we like to say. And that's probably it. So I'll be disappointed if like Minnesota's finding good chunk plays through the air. But again, like I think we've established, it's not like the result is in doubt. That's just something I want to see. You know, third quarter, second half, really. I mean, if it happens, hopefully it's a situation where the score's 28-3 anyway.
Or it's ones versus twos.
Yeah, I mean, you understand in certain situations, but like first, second quarter, when you're trying to put this team away and like trying to look good on the road and all that, I don't want to see it. So that's when I'll be disappointed. Do you answer the question in this game?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I forgot.
So
you'll be disappointed if blank.
Yeah, I'll probably go even more extreme. Like you said, you know, not all of those big plays, especially this year, they're not really leading to points. And if they are, it's kind of on a fluke play or late. I'm going to be really bold with mine, and no disrespect to PJ Fleck or Minnesota or that environment, but I will be disappointed if Minnesota scores more than 10 points. I, you know, biased as ever and happy as a clam when they hold opponents to 10 or less. I hope
happy
we see.
Happy as a clam?
Yeah, happy as a clam.
Hold on. We got to pause right there. Happy as a clam.
Happy as a clam.
I've never heard anyone say that.
It just means you're extremely happy. It's a phase, oh, a phase of happiness. See, here's, you know, here's an okay. example of like, hey, even though, you know, that job doesn't pay super well, that person's sure happy as a clam.
Happy as a clam. Are clams like notoriously happy?
You know, I don't ever question the origin of historic phrases, but let me tell you that it's been around since, you know, 18th, 19th century. And you know what?
Okay.
Take some time to research it. Maybe you'll, I think it derived from a further, like a longer phrase than that. Happy as a clam, that something in the ocean, you know?
So, ah, you might be right.
But, you know, I just kind of go with the happy as a clam, keep it at that, you know, trying to limit the words, I guess.
Okay. No, I got you. Let's do a score prediction here really quick. And then there's a couple other football games or things I want to talk about. I'll give my prediction first, give you a second to round yours up. So I'm thinking Michigan's winning this one 38-10. And let me try to justify this, which I don't think I can. Other than saying 38 feels like the right number, I'm not going to pick Michigan to score 28 points again unless I feel like it really warrants it. This is not a game that does. 10 points might be a stretch, but I think there's something to say about like that home, potentially raucous environment. Like if Minnesota can get a quick touchdown or field goal and then tack one or the other on again in like garbage time area, that's how you get to 10. But so 38-10, that's what I'm picking.
Got 34-9, allows them to cover.
Three field goals?
Yeah, three field goals. I think, again, you know, limit the chunk plays, allow them to maybe get into the red zone, but, you know, make them get their points with the kicking game. Obviously, what that doesn't account for is the, you know, the late game touchdown that we've seen against Nebraska and UNLV, but, you know, you've got some other ones where, you know, they held teams to field goals. You know, East Carolina scored three, Bowling Green scored three. So I still, you know, 9 gets me as close to that double digits as I think Michigan will allow. But maybe more hope than anything. I hope they can keep a team under that 10 points and, you know, keep that average down. It is quite possible if you look at the schedule until November, and not only November, but November 11th, they might not allow a multiple touchdown game. I am sure a team at some point, whether it's this weekend, it's Michigan State, or maybe an Indiana or Purdue playing out of their minds, I'm sure there's a team that's going to make them uncomfortable, as there always is each year. But, you know, it is also, you know, as likely that the defense continues to play as well as they have and really eliminates the opportunity for points for their next several opponents. So this is one of them for me. I do think with the spread being, 19-20, the weather being a stark difference from a weekend ago, I think it was 95, middle
crazy.
Of the day. Now it's going to be like 50s. You know, Minnesota probably rains all the time. It's going to be night, so it's going to be cold. So whether it's pulling the starters early if it's out of hand, or, you know, just, you know, the slower moving game in terms of number of possessions. Not going super high at the score this time, so I've only got Michigan scoring, you know what, four touchdowns and a couple of field goals.
Okay, so I'm going to go rapid fire here around college football. First, I want to let you know, give you a little an update. Jacksonville State beat Middle Tennessee last night, Wednesday, 45-30. Jacksonville State is now a 5-1 football team. Do you understand?
That's a big deal.
They were not playing FBS football last year. They're 5-1.
Also, this is like, USA. I think that was the start of maybe a 50-day period of some sort of football action.
Oh, yeah, it was. Like, between college and NFL.
That's crazy, but
I think you're right. On Saturday, noon, high noon, Red River Showdown, Oklahoma, Texas, ABC. You watching?
I'll probably tune in. You know, Baker Mayfield, if people still watch College Game Day, which I know the viewerships are way down. Baker Mayfield making some picks. That's usually one, honestly, and I feel like Michigan's played more noon games historically lately in the last several seasons than years ago. That always feels like one where Michigan's played and you kind of have to watch the highlights or tune in for the in-game updates. But nice to have that 7:30 slot to really take advantage of the biggest bulk of games, which obviously happens at noon and then mid-afternoon. So hoping to tune into that one. I think it will be a really good game. A lot of those are. And then you have the random ones that are blowouts. But I think that's one I tune into.
Underrated at noon will be Maryland at Ohio State. I'm interested to see that one. Derek, for my own household, there are two 7:30 kicks that we are highly vested in, Michigan, Minnesota being one of them. The other is Notre Dame travels to Louisville on ABC, 7:30. By the way, Louisville, not Louisville, Louisville is apparently the correct pronunciation. So letting you know,
correct,
as somebody from up there, up north, that I've been saying it wrong apparently like my whole life. So I've been trying to correct myself.
But I think college is when I made that transition to saying the right thing.
Okay. So is this a two TV night? It's a great excuse for it, right?
I mean, it's got to be. And honestly,
there's no other option.
You know, you have Sass Jim Harbaugh or Sarah Harbaugh, whoever you want in the Harbaugh family. There's options that, you know, I think here's what I'll say about YouTube TV. Another shameless plug, especially since we're going to get that sponsorship soon. I think that last week's multicast was the best available so far this season. And maybe it was just the alignment of games that were being played. So I'm hoping, you know, at noon to be able to do exactly that with Texas, Oklahoma, and Maryland, Ohio State. I'll watch Maryland, Ohio State probably as much until it gets out of hand. If it does get out of hand, if it's not, then I probably stay more tuned into that game. Because I think Maryland, you know, again, they always start 5-0, right? Like, they always start high, and then they really fall apart. If they present anything differently this year, you know, this will be the week to really show it off against Ohio State, you know, team that the jury's still out on. But in the evening, same thing, you know, for you and your family. I'd say 2 TV night. For me, you know, probably not. Probably not going to, you know, have that one up. But I think Louisville, with Jeff Brohm and the way they're playing, posed as big of a threat as Duke did in Notre Dame last week. I just think they're playing really good, sound football so far. And, you know, we talk about Michigan's tough schedule. Notre Dame's a team that, you know, historically has always had a tough schedule. And it gets no easier this weekend playing a hot Louisville team.
All right, let's go up one level to the Detroit Lions, Derek. Sitting at 3-1. Next opponents on the schedule, Carolina and Tampa Bay. Probably favored in both of those games, at least against Carolina, probably against Tampa. Is there a world where the Detroit Lions are 5-1 getting ready for a trip to Baltimore?
It's definitely possible. I had to type it in because I saw it on Twitter, and luckily I found something that seems to be legit. I knew 2011 was 5-1, just because I remember having a lot of hope in college that, you know, the Lions were back. Before that, it was 1991, and then a bunch of times that were well beyond, you know, when we were born. And so it's a possibility, and it's a really realistic possibility. But such a rarity. And all that means is if you do start 5-1, is it just creates a larger level of potential disappointment as the season goes on, because the Lions are still the Lions until they literally prove differently. They're on a mission to do that. But hey, you know, it's been fun. It's been fun to watch. So
I'm personally looking forward to it. I don't get to watch a lot of Lions games because they're out of market, and I'm not paying like $500 or whatever for the NFL's package to watch out of market games. Fair. but I've really appreciated two Thursday night games. Week 8 is a Monday night game against Las Vegas. I'm looking, like, browsing the schedule. I might be able to catch the games against Chicago. The next game against Green Bay is on a Thursday night.
That's so Thanksgiving, and I think they, I don't remember.
Oh, that's true.
I don't remember what matchups it is, but there are a couple that are likely, could be flexed too, depending on how the season goes for the Lions or other teams.
I'm enjoying watching Detroit. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, for me, you know, been a Lions fan for a long time, but, you know, there have been years where they're just really hard to watch and very easy to turn off. That is not the case so far this year. It's been really enjoyable. Again, not quite the excitement I get on a Saturday, especially with how Michigan's been playing the last couple of years. But it's no longer the very, very extended Brady Hoke / Rich Rod eras for the Detroit Lions. It feels a little different this year, and I think there's a lot of people out there that would agree so far.
I think that's a nice high note to end the show on. And so we have our score predictions that I'm really, really hoping. I didn't pick anything. It's actually pretty similar to yours for Michigan, Minnesota.
Hey, if they get in the 30s by halftime, we text each other and say, what were we thinking?
What? Yeah. Are you stupid?
Or maybe that's without knowing it yet. Maybe that's the third quarter score.
I think maybe once this season we should make like a halftime or third quarter pick. And it doesn't need to be
really
against
ballsy
like a,
and go with a let's predict each quarter.
Ooh. I mean,
winner,
that would take a lot
winner,
of thought.
Winner gets a prize.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll actually happen. The winner will get a prize.
Well, it's determined by the other person, so it'd be up to you to give me my prize when I win.
Okay, I see. Yeah, we might do it. I don't know. I'll think about it. A lot of work, like I said, to pick four scores. Anyway, no matter what happens, whether Michigan wins by a lot or a little, I won't take a loss as an answer. We'll get back next week, talk about it. We may keep talking about the Detroit Lions, too, a little bit. I kind of like that. I think it's a fun change of pace. So we'll catch you next time. Go Blue.
Go Blue.